Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Every man and woman on planet Earth worships something or someone. Who or what do you worship? What do you love and adore? Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to rediscover a biblical perspective on true worship. Stay with us. One of the truest proofs that there is a God and that He is interested in us is that He created us with a longing, a desire, an emptiness that only He can fill, a desire to worship and to love our Creator. So often we get confused on worship, and so much that we call worship today is really man-centered and self-centered. So what is worship really all about? Well, we're going to find out next with Paul Chappell. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This daily program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California every Monday through Friday and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's our joy to open God's Word with you today. Before we do so, I want to invite you to visit us at strivingtogether.com and dailyintheword.org. Strivingtogether.com is our publication's website where you'll find books and resources for spiritual growth. Dailyintheword.org is the program website. If you'd like to listen to today's message again, if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast or to the complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell each and every day, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we study worship prayerfully. How does prayer play a role in our worship? Here's Paul Chappell.
Years ago, I read a book by Dr. John R. Rice entitled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And in this particular book, there was a statement that gripped my heart and often floods my memory concerning the subject of prayer. Dr. Rice wrote in the book, "Every failure is a prayer failure. Every failure is a prayer failure." You see, we have a God this morning who invites us to come and find strength and grace and wisdom. He invites us to come in order that we might draw closer to Him. And oftentimes in our neglect to pray, oftentimes in our neglect to worship God through prayer, we find that we fail in the very areas where God would have us to seek His help and to find His hand. As we come to the book of Hebrews, we remember that Hebrews is a book written to Jewish believers of the first century who were learning now how to have access to God in the era called the New Testament age. You see, for the Hebrew believer, they were learning that access to God was no longer found through the structure of the law, through the ordinances of the law. It was no longer found through the high priest Aaron and his priestly tribe. They were learning that they could come directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the premise of Hebrews chapters 4 and 10 and many other portions of this book as well. And I'm glad today that every one of us as believers in the New Testament age can come boldly to the throne of grace through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, by way of introduction, let's turn back to chapter 4 and see an earlier teaching concerning the subject of prayer and the subject of Jesus Christ being our high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Once again in chapter 10 and verse 19, the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holy place. As we consider prayer this morning, I want to give to you three precepts concerning prayer that every one of us must remember. First of all, I draw to your attention our entrance in prayer. Our entrance in prayer. How is it that we as common sinners, by the way, how many of you are willing to admit that's kind of where we start off? We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. How is it that we as common sinners can enter boldly into the presence of Almighty God? How does that happen? How is it that God, the creator of the universe, invites us into his fellowship? Well, it's not because of our merit, and it's not because we deserve his audience. It is because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed for our sins. His blood covers our sin, and his blood gives us access into the Holy of Holies. The Bible says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, notice this, by the blood of Jesus, or because of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed, we can enter boldly into the throne of grace. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says in the latter portion, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When I was a young boy in Sunday school, we often sang the little chorus, what can wash away my sin? And the answer was, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we thank God that he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and that he now invites us to the presence of God. Having been made righteous by the sacrificial atoning work of Jesus, we can enter boldly. Acts 20:28 gives insight into this blood atonement. It says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This was the instruction to the pastors at Ephesus. But notice the last portion of that verse, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, my friend, Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. We'll learn about that next Sunday morning. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. He was, in fact, the very Son of God. And when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the old rugged cross, the very blood of God made atonement for the sins of the entire world. And it is because of that atoning work that we can enter boldly into the presence of Almighty God. Now then, it is through his payment that we find entrance. But notice secondly, it is through his priestly ministry. For Jesus Christ is not only our Redeemer, but Jesus Christ, as we saw a moment ago, is our high priest. How many of you are glad you don't have to come to a common sinful man? How many of you are glad you don't have to enter into a little booth and tell a man just like you about your sins so that he can get them up to God? I'm glad today that we as Baptists have, as one of our biblical distinctives, a belief called the priesthood of every believer. We learned about that a few weeks ago. That is to say that Jesus is the high priest, and all of us as believer priests can come directly to him in our prayers. We do not say a prayer to a man who then burns incense or candles and makes prayers for us, but we can come boldly to the throne of grace with our own prayers. Now notice, if you would, the Lord's priestly ministry. First of all, the Bible describes him as our high priest. Our high priest. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 says this, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, in a moment, we're going to further describe the Old Testament high priest. But for this moment, just put in your mind that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is the one that has gone before us. He is the one to whom we bring our prayers. Notice, secondly, the Bible describes him as our mediator. He is our mediator. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now then, not only do we thank God that Jesus Christ shed His blood for our redemption, but we thank God this morning that on the third day, up from the grave, He arose. And the Bible says He is seated now at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. That is, He is our mediator. He is the one that pleads our case. And His blood is constantly speaking out. We refer to it as being His efficacious atonement. It is a continually working atonement. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. And my friend, the blood is constantly saying, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Now, you may not realize it, but you and I have an accuser today, and his name is the devil. And the devil accuses us before God, but we have a mediator. We have, if you will, an attorney who comes on our defense and comes on our behalf, and he says, Father, forgive them on the basis of my shed blood. They are your children. They are forgiven. I'm glad today that Jesus is my high priest. I'm glad today that Jesus is my mediator and that he stands and pleads my case. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, not only is he my redeemer, my mediator, but notice, thirdly, he invites us to the holy place. Now, Jesus Christ, our high priest, invites us to come into the holy place. Now, someone may be new to the teaching of God's word or new as a Christian today. You may wonder, what does that mean, come into the holy place? We saw that in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Well, again, I said by way of introduction, the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew believers of the first century. So when they thought about the Holy of Holies, they had something on their mind. It was a special place where only the priest could go. Only the high priest could go. When someone would walk into the tabernacle and then later the temple, they first came into the outer court. They came past the brazen altar. They would come past the laver. They would enter into the holy place. There they would find the table of showbread and the golden candlesticks and the altar of service. And they would walk past that then on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, into what was known as the Holy of Holies. There in the Holy of Holies, they would find the Ark of the Covenant. Atop the Ark of the Covenant, there was the mercy seat. Then on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, most spoken of in the Old Testament, was Aaron. He would come and he would bring that blood that was sacrificed by the innocent animal, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, thus providing for the cleansing of the sins of all the people. Now in the Old Testament, only the high priest could come into that holy place. But now we live in what is called the New Testament. Hebrews speaks of the New Covenant, the New Testament. That is that when Jesus Christ died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, signifying that God now invites Jews and Gentiles to come and have access and have an audience with Almighty God personally because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stop to consider everything that God has done to make prayer possible for us, to make salvation available for us, it is a humbling truth indeed to know that God loves us in this wonderful way. And so He invites us to the holy place. And we see that Jesus Christ has made this possible for us. The blood of Jesus is the means whereby our entrance into the holy place has been procured. You see, as Spurgeon once said, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Some people think they have to do all kinds of penance in order to gain an entrance to God. I have seen in third world countries with my own eyes on several occasions people climbing up the steps of a church. And as they climb up the steps of the church, many times their pants now will wear through. And then now their knees on the steps of some great cathedral begins to find a scraping time and a bleeding time. And these who are of this particular Roman Catholic tradition feel that they must somehow earn an entrance into God or into the confessional booth, which is not found in Scripture. I have seen some, in fact, even take a whip and self-flagellate and find themselves in a bleeding mess trying to somehow do penance in order that God will hear their prayer. I'm thankful this morning that I do not have to shed my blood in order for God to hear my prayer. I am thankful that I enter God based upon the merit of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I can come on His merit and not on my own merit. That's why we sing songs like Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Jesus, how we thank God that by His grace, He invites us to come in to the holy place. And so our entrance into prayer is not based upon our merit. It is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ has made a way. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And so we see how our entrance in unto the Lord has been procured. But notice secondly this morning, our expectation in prayer. Someone says, all right, Pastor Chapel, God has made a way through Jesus that I might pray personally to Him. But I'm intimidated by prayer, and some people are. I know grown men in their 40s and 50s who will break out in a little bit of a sweat when it comes time to pray for their breakfast, maybe at Denny's. Or maybe even to pray with their family. It's a little awkward. And sometimes I think the devil wants us to feel awkward or self-conscious. And yet all we're doing is talking to the one who loves us more than we could ever comprehend. And what is it, in fact, that God wants us to expect when we come to Him in prayer? Well, let's notice a few things about this matter of prayer. First of all, God says, I want you to come with confidence. I want you to come to me with confidence. The Bible says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, what does the next word say? Boldness. The word boldness means freedom in speaking. It means without concealment. By the way, how many of you would agree with me? It's a little silly to try to conceal anything from God anyways. God says, I love you the way you are. I know when you've had uh-ohs. I know when you've sinned. I understand. But I want you to come to me boldly. And He says that, first of all, because of His total acceptance for us. My friend, God loves you and God loves me. And we are accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says in 1 John 3:21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Sometimes our hearts condemn us, sometimes our heart does not, but at all times, God says, I want you to have confidence in my acceptance of you. Secondly, God says, I want you to know that I desire to hear your prayers. Did you know that Jesus taught us how to pray in the New Testament? Did you know the Bible says that men ought always to pray? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Time and again, God says, I want your fellowship. In fact, Adam and Eve were created with that thought in the mind of Almighty God. I heard the story of an old farmer that was driving down the dirt road in his truck. And as he was driving along the dirt road, his wife was in the truck with him. And she was in one of those kind of melancholy moods, and she looked over at him and said, you know, we never sit all snuggled up together in the truck like we used to. He was driving the old truck. He looked over at her and said, I didn't move. Someone says, you know, I just feel like my prayers just go off the ceiling. I just feel so far from God. Let me tell you something. He didn't move. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Sometimes when I'm asked to do marriage counseling, the first question I will ask is this. Do you pray in your home? Do you pray? How is it that we can expect never to invite God's help and God's presence and then wonder why our marriage struggles? My friends, the family that prays together stays together. God says, I want you to come to me with confidence. I want you to know that I'm ready to hear from you. I want to hear from you. He says, secondly, I want you to come with sincerity. This is not a game. This is not some ritual. He says, I want you to believe in your heart as you come. Notice in verse 22, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Notice that phrase, a true heart. God says, now when you come to me, I want you to be real with me. 2 Chronicles 7:14 indicates to us what a true heart is in God's economy. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now God says, when you come to me, I want you to come with a humble heart. I want you to be willing to turn from your sin. And herein lies the reason that many Christians do not pray as we should, because just as soon as we begin to come into the presence of God, the Lord begins to convict us of our sin. And God says, when that happens, I just want you to come with a true heart, with a humble heart. Here, notice what it says in verse 22. It says, let us draw near in a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the Old Testament priests, before they went into the Holy of Holies, They would take time, first of all, to clean every part of their body. They would clean their hands. They would clean their feet. They would take their garments and they would wash them thoroughly. They dared not to enter into the presence of the Holy One until they had been cleaned. And by the way, I know I'm a little old-fashioned, but I simply believe that this is the Lord's day. I believe still in the holiness of God. I don't think it's a bad thing to be respectful when we come into the house of God. And if the very best you have is a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, then wash it up and come on in ready to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the Lord's day and He is still a holy God. Let me tell you something though. We can look great on the outside, but our hearts may be defiled. So he doesn't say in verse number 22 that we are simply to wash our clothes. He says, I want your hearts to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, I want you to come before me sincerely and honestly. As the psalmist of old said, Lord, try my heart, search and know it, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, why is that so important? Because of Psalm 66:18. Notice that in your notes. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, we're talking about prayer this morning, and God says, if you're going to start praying, but in your heart you hate someone, you're bitter, you're having some kind of a pattern of life that's displeasing to Him, it's against the Bible, God says, if you're going to try to hide that in your heart, you're hindering your prayer life. He said, I'm not even going to hear your prayer life. So He says, I want you to come with confidence, but I want you to come with sincerity. I want you to be sincere. I want you to have your heart humble and pure before me. Now, my friend, what I am preaching about right now is something that every person in this room can do if we would determine today that we are going to come before the Lord with confidence and with sincerity. It can be done. Years ago, I was preaching in the old building downtown. We had just been here a few months, and I was preaching on a Sunday night about serving God. And I said, everyone has a spiritual gift and everyone needs to find a place to serve in the church. And I was just encouraging our folks to try to reach our city with the gospel. And I gave the invitation and folks came and some were deciding to serve the Lord in various capacities. One lady came. In fact, she was the only really senior saint in our church at that time. Her name was Clara Doherty. Clara was 87 years old. And she was primarily shut in. Some folks would pick her up and bring her in and so forth. And she came, in fact, came down the aisle with a walker. And as she came up to me, I extended my hand as a young 24-year-old pastor. And I said, Mrs. Doherty, what are you coming for today? She said, well, Pastor, I can't do a lot of the things you've been talking about. She said, I really can't go out as much as some of the others. She said, I give gospel tracts to those that come by the door or when I'm at the hospital. She said, there's not a lot I can do, but I'm coming today to reaffirm my vow to God. There's two things I can do and two things I will do. She said, Pastor, I can pray and I can pay. Now, the pay referred to her tithes, but the prayer referred to her time with God on our behalf. And I have often wondered, as this ministry has seen building after building constructed and great victory after great day accomplished, I've often wondered if it is not the prayers of godly widows in this church who come before the Lord boldly and who come with a pure heart and who say, God bless that preacher and bless those people and bless this project and that project. I believe that God hears the prayer of a sincere and pure hearted Christian today. We can make excuses about why we would not get right, or we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, purge my heart, clean me.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, and today we've been studying worship. You can hear any of the messages in this series or recent programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now, in the privacy of your own heart, to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chaplin and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chapel's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chapel. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.